The Legal Corner Podcast Series. Welcome to today's episode of The Legal Corner, a podcast which covers a variety of legal issues to keep you informed. Hosted by attorney at law Colin Dinoon and communication specialist Leonardo Torres.
Such a pleasure to be back with you for another episode of the Legal Corner Podcast Series. In today's episode, we'll be looking at ride-sharing services, and our distinguished guest is Mr. Michael McCready, Esquire, who's the founder and managing partner at McCready Law. As I like to say, we are on the road, so we are traveling virtually to Chicago, Illinois. And just to tell you a bit about Mr. McCready, he has over 30 years of legal experience and is the founder and managing partner of McCready Law. From a very young age, he knew he wanted to be a lawyer who supported everyday people rather than large corporations to help make a difference in the world. After graduating cum laude with his Juris Doctor in 1992 from University of Richmond School of Law, Michael embarked on his legal journey as he worked for a federal judge in Virginia before relocating to Chicago to work for a small personal injury law firm. In 2000, Michael opened his own firm, McCready Law, representing individuals involved in auto, work, and personal injuries, and over the years has grown his law firm to over 50 employees and 4 offices, recovering in excess of $100 million for his clients. Michael served as a mentor to younger attorneys while also prioritizing community involvement and philanthropic efforts. McCready's daily activities as a managing partner include growing his team, sitting on the board of directors for the Greater Chicagoland Legal Clinic, and attending speaking engagements where he teaches best practices for running a personal injury law firm in the 21st century. In his spare time, Michael enjoys learning about wine, traveling with his 6 children to help create lasting memories. Good day to you, Michael, and welcome to the Legal Corner Podcast Series.
Great to see you, Colin. Thank you for having me.
Great. Well, we're going to get right into it. Tell us, what is the definition of a ride-sharing service?
All right. So the definition of a ride-sharing service is going to vary from state to state. Listen, 10, 15 years ago, there was no such thing as Uber or Lyft or any of these ride-sharing companies. What we had were private passenger automobiles, and we had taxis, and we had limos. Rideshare isn't a taxi, it isn't a limo, and it isn't a private vehicle. So the states had to pass laws first defining what a rideshare is. Now, most of the states have come up with a general definition of what a rideshare is. And that definition includes that it is a private individual who is transporting someone else for compensation. In other words, they're getting paid to transport someone. Definition of a ride share also typically involves that the individual books the ride through an app, okay, through an online computer service. So the definition of a ride share company can vary slightly from state to state. What really varies is how the states treat ride shares. But I know that you've got other questions with regards to that later on.
Yeah, sure. How are drivers employed by these services?
Well, that is a very, very difficult legal question, because there's a legal definition of employment and the rideshare companies.
Of course, I thought about that as I was saying the word.
Right. You know, you're talking to a lawyer, so we are on top of every single word which is used. The question I'm going to answer is, how are people who drive for rideshare companies categorized? And there's a big difference between a legal employee and an independent contractor. The rideshare companies, of course, want the drivers to be considered independent contractors. And that's how they have structured their company. However, if you look at the legal definition of what constitutes employment, so what the federal government uses for tax purposes, there are certain criteria that lead towards the employment and certain criteria which lead towards independent contractor. And that's where the battle is. So the rideshare companies are saying, hey, look at all these things. These are independent contractors. And there are other interests, including the drivers, labor unions, consumer rights advocates that are saying, hey, look at all these other characteristics that are leaning towards employment. So the law is quite unsettled right now, state to state, as to whether rideshare drivers are treated as employees or as independent contractors.
What security concerns have there been with ride-sharing services?
So the ride-sharing services would like you to think that all of their drivers have been adequately screened and that no incidents occur with regards to their drivers. But the reality is there have been instances around the country of rideshare drivers performing criminal acts towards the people who are their passengers. It may be something such as a sexual assault or even a robbery that these rideshare drivers commit. Now, most rideshare drivers, you know, 99.9% of them are never going to be a problem. But these issues have come up around the country. The rideshare companies try to minimize them. They certainly don't want publicity when an incident like this happens. But more than that, the rideshare companies are trying to wash their hands of these drivers and say, we do a good job. If a bad apple gets through, there's nothing that we can do about it. And most importantly, we, the rideshare company, shouldn't be held legally responsible for the actions of the rideshare driver. So that's another issue that comes in. If a rideshare driver is an employee or an independent contractor, the law generally says that the employer is responsible for the actions of the employee, whereas someone is not responsible for an independent contractor. Let me give an example. So the cable installer comes into someone's house and commits a crime. Well, the cable company is responsible for that employee. It is an employee. But let's say the homeowner hires somebody to come in to install something. Well, that's not going to be an employee. That's going to be an independent contractor, and they would not be liable. So the distinction between whether someone is an employee or an independent contractor has great ramifications in many different areas, but specifically with regards to the liability of criminal acts by the rideshare drivers.
Are there any economic benefits associated with ride-sharing services?
Well, listen, we've all become reliant on rideshare services. There are still private taxis out there, but most people are very reliant on these rideshare services. And rideshare services are a reality. They're not going anywhere. And there are people that, that depend on these rideshare services. You know, I use them all the time. So they certainly serve a purpose. However, they are for profit. I mean, these are for profit companies. And there are laws out there which govern, say, taxi cab drivers or limo drivers. That the rideshare companies say, hey, well, we're not one of those, so those laws should not apply to us. And that's where the real pushback is coming from the rideshare companies and the legislatures. But you know, they certainly serve an economic benefit to the people who use them.
At this point, we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back. Welcome back and thank you for staying with us. Michael, before the break, you were just giving us an idea of some of the economic benefits associated with ride-sharing services. At this point, I want us to circle back to the whole issue of employees versus independent contractors and talk to us about the ramifications for the drivers if they are classified as independent contractors as opposed to employees.
So that's the other side of the big dispute between the rideshare companies and the rideshare drivers. It's not just the liability aspect of it, but it is also how the rideshare drivers are classified. If they are classified solely as independent contractors, they get whatever their contract says that they get as a percentage of the ride. They get the money, they have to pay taxes on it, they get a 1099 at the end of the year. They are truly independent contractors. Contrast that with an actual employee. The legal definition of an employee, you know, I have 50 employees. There are obligations that I have as an employer. One is I have to pay employer taxes for every employee. I have to contribute to Social Security and Medicare on behalf of my employees. There are other legal requirements that I have to abide by if I am an employee. Overtime. Okay. So if a rideshare driver, you know, on his or her own drives 50 hours a week, if they're an independent contractor, they just get paid the straight amount that they're entitled to. If they're an employee, no, they are entitled to time and a half beyond 40 hours. Some of the other things, you know, certain jurisdictions here in Chicago, we have mandatory, every employer has to provide a certain number of days of sick time. Okay. If you're an independent contractor, if you don't work, you don't get paid. If you're sick, you don't get paid. So there are all sorts of benefits if a rideshare driver is considered an employee. Now, part of the test to determine whether someone is an employee or an independent contractor is the extent to which the employer controls the schedule and the means that they do their job. Now, rideshare drivers have a lot of flexibility. It's one of the reasons why so many people will drive for a rideshare company. They can drive when they want at their own leisure. There are some people that do it as a full-time job, others that may do it on the weekends. So there is some flexibility there. However, the rideshare companies dictate who they pick up, when they pick up, and how much money the passenger is charged. Those are all things that are typically reserved to by an employer. So a rideshare driver can't say, well, you know what? I'll pick you up on this corner and drive you there, and I'll charge you this. You can't do that, okay? That would be something that an independent contractor certainly could do. So whether a rideshare driver is classified as an employee or an independent contractor, you know, has a lot of ramifications for the driver. Listen, you know, there are states that require health insurance. Okay, if you're an independent contractor, you don't get health insurance. If you're an employee, you may be entitled to health insurance. Any of these benefits that employers offer rideshare drivers, if they're classified as independent contractors, don't get to take advantage of.
Yes, of course. And I would also say that it seems to be working in the favor of the companies if the drivers are classified as independent contractors. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. Listen, employees are expensive. Like I said, there are rules and regulations and taxes and obligations that if you are an employer, that the law requires you to abide by. It is a lot easier and a lot less expensive to classify people as independent contractors. And there are a lot of industries that try to do that because the employer doesn't want employees because of the added obligation. But the law doesn't allow an employer just to randomly say, well, you're not an employee, you're just an independent contractor. The law has to be applied as to whether they meet the requirements of an employee.
Michael, as we get ready to go, can you walk us through some of the cases that you have encountered where the court was forced to make a determination on this whole issue of whether a driver in a given situation was an employee or an independent contractor?
Well, a couple things. Really, it depends on what the rideshare driver is accused of doing. Okay. Under the law, if a rideshare driver is accused of sexually assaulting a passenger, sexual assault is not part of what a rideshare obligation driver is supposed to do. And whether they're an independent contractor or an employee, the argument would be that they're not carrying out the job that their employer asked them to do. So there's the first hurdle. Second hurdle is if you can overcome that legal challenge, you know, then you have to get into the weeds about whether it's an independent contractor or an employer. And the rideshare companies in the cases that I've handled, you know, have built these defenses in and are guarding them, you know, very, very carefully, because the ramifications is if a rideshare company is considered an employer, it may ultimately destroy the industry. So the rideshare companies will fight, if it appears like it's going against them. In my experience, that's when they want to settle, because they don't want the precedent. They don't want my court case or some other lawyer's court case to be that case that determines their entire business model. So they've done a great job. You know, it's very, very hard to get by all of these defenses in these cases, but you know, once you're able to get over a lot of these hurdles, and it's fact specific, every case is factually different. But once you get over that and they realize, wow, we may lose this case. And if we lose this case, it's going to have a domino effect on all of our other cases. You know, those are the ones that they settle and they want to bury them. They don't want it to be made public.
Right. Michael, at this point, I just like to give you the opportunity to make any closing comments and to let us know how can persons get in contact with you.
Yes, thank you. One topic which we didn't touch on is that the rideshare companies throughout the country, each state requires a different amount of insurance. Okay, so a rideshare driver can be carrying a passenger and, you know, runs a red light or rear ends someone. Well, you know, they're transporting someone for profit. They're getting paid to drive, and they are legally responsible if they injure someone. What people don't understand is what the insurance limits are for these drivers, and it varies from state to state. If you are a taxi driver, you've got very high insurance limits by law. These rideshare companies don't have those same high insurance limits, and at the end of the day, you've got this big rideshare company and one of their drivers, and if they get in a very, very serious accident, because the limits are not high enough for the rideshare driver, I've got clients that have been catastrophically injured and never be able to get enough money to compensate them. That to me is the biggest issue that the public is unaware of, and that can only be changed by the legislature. So state by state, the legislature sets what the limits are for insurance for rideshare drivers. And the average person who's in a rideshare doesn't understand what these limits are until something really bad happens. So, it's not just my personal injury lawyers, our own helping ourselves. It's really helping the public to make sure that if an Uber driver causes an accident where someone is seriously injured, that that person can receive the compensation that they're entitled to.
Great. Contact information. How can persons reach out to you and your law firm?
Sure. My office handles cases throughout Illinois and Indiana, but I also work with a network of lawyers around the country who handle these rideshare cases. So even if it's not something that I'm able to help someone in a particular state, I still have got a network of lawyers that I know and trust and do a good job on these rideshare cases. The best way to reach me is online. My website is MacCreedyLaw.com. My email is pretty easy. It's Michael@MacCreedyLaw.com. And we're always willing to listen and answer any kind of questions. All personal injury lawyers operate the same, is that there's a free initial consultation. So it doesn't cost anything to pick up the phone. And then likewise, there's no charge unless there's a recovery. So if there's no, if I can't make a recovery, or if a lawyer can't make a recovery in a rideshare case, it doesn't cost the client anything. So I'd encourage anybody who's been involved in a rideshare accident, to reach out to myself or someone else who will be able to help them.
Great, Michael. This has been a great conversation. Thank you very much for stopping by.
Thank you, Colin. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the Legal Corner podcast series. For more information, please visit us at our Facebook or Instagram pages, or send your comments to thelegalcornerpodcast@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.